الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله. الحمد لله الذي أنزل على عبده الكتاب ولم يجعل له عوجا قيما لينذر بأسا شديدا من لدن ويبشر المؤمنين الذين يعملون الصالحات أن لهم أجرا حسنا ماكثين فيه أبدا وينذر الذين قالوا اتخذ الله ولدا ما لهم به من علم ولا لآبائهم كبرت كلمة تخرج من أفواههم إن يقولون إلا كذبا فلعلك باخع نفسك على آثارهم إن لم يؤمنوا بهذا الحديث أسفا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وإليه ترجع الأمور وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله الله تعالى بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا وداعيا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجا منيرا فهو الرحمة المهداة والسراج المنير اللهم صل وسلم وبارك عليه وعلى آله الأطهار وأصحابه الأخيار ومن اتبع سنته وسار على نهجه إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فيا أيها الإخوة المؤمنون السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه العزيز أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولقد عهدنا لآدم من قبل فنسي ولم نجد له عزما صدق الله العظيم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and we placed long ago upon Adam a covenant, but he forgot, and we did not find any steadfastness within him. This is about azam, steadfastness, determination, an absolute desire to follow things through. And here in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that even one of the Anbiya, alayhim wassalam, didn't quite have enough azm, charged with a covenant by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but Allah did not find that azm, that determination within him. And right at the end of time, the famous hadith of the Shafa'a, when the nations are moving in crowds from prophet to prophet, seeking someone who will intercede for them, will pray for them, will get for them some fraction of their Lord's mercy, they first go to Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam. And they say, you are Safiullah. You are the first one to be created of humanity upon the earth. Do you not see our predicament? Intercede for us. But he mentions this event, an absence of azm, and says, seek someone else. Go to another. And so the hadith continues. They go to Sayyidina Nuh. They go to Sayyidina Ibrahim. And to Sayyidina Isa. Until they come to Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he is then given a shafa'atul kubra, the greatest intercession. So at the beginning of time, of sacred history, and right at the end, this event, this absence of determination on behalf of a nonetheless infallible prophet becomes important. What does it mean? Look at the expression in this ayah with which we began. Fanasiya, he forgot. It doesn't say adnaba. It doesn't even say akhta'a. It doesn't say he sinned. He committed a transgression. The Quran has words for those things, but they don't appear here. Instead, fanasiya, he forgot. He was charged with this thing and he forgot. An error, given its consequences, but not really a sin. Because the hadith of the Mustafa sallallahu alayhi says, رُفِعَ عَنْ أُمَّتِي ثَلَاثٌ الْخَطَأُ وَالنِّسْيَانُ وَمَا اسْتُكْرِهُ عَلَيْهِ. Three things are things that my ummah will not be taken to account for. Innocent mistakes, things that they just forget, and things that they were forced to do. If you do bad things under any of those three circumstances, they are not considered to be sins, although they can still be, objectively, in view of their consequences, bad things. So this ayah attributes this nisyan, this forgetfulness, to Adam, alayhi salam. And that seems to be the diagnosis that the book has of our human condition. It is not that we are more than you want. We make mistakes. But the fundamental nature of human beings is not that, it's not sinfulness. It's not a deep-seated original desire to wreak havoc. The deepest nature of us is goodness, but we forget. That's the human nature. That's why we are called insan. Sayyidina Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu says, إِنَّمَا سُمِّيَ الْإِنسَانُ إِنسَانًا لِأَنَّهُ أُهِدَ إِلَيْهِ فَنَسِي. The insan, the human being, was only called insan because he was given a trust to bear and he forgot. Nasiya, nisyan, insan, the Arabic words seem to be linked. That's what we are. We are forgetters. We are entities that do not know. Out of all of the things in Allah's cosmos, in space and time, that could be known, what percentage of those things do we know or can we ever know? So infinitesimal as to be without significance. And as well as not knowing things, as having jahl, we forget things. Even the things that we do know and we do learn, even a covenant from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we can forget. That's our condition. We solemnly accept to perform certain responsibilities and we forget. We know that we have duties. We know that it's wrong to tell lies, but somehow we forget. We know that it's wrong to be unreliable, but somehow we forget. We know that it's wrong to do so many things, and yet usually what happens is that we're just absent-minded and we forget. Sometimes that can move on until it becomes genuinely sinful, and we do sin as well. We are khata'un. We are, in that sense, Bani Adam. Kullu Bani Adam khata'un. وَخَيْرُ الْخَطَّائِينَ التَّوَّابُونَ. All of the descendants of Adam are mistake makers. And the best of those who make mistakes are those who repent, those who make amends, those who turn around. We have that as well. And then we have the lesser problem of forgetfulness, this nisyan. What is this ahad, this covenant, that the Qur'an tells us was being placed upon Adam, alayhi salam? The context of the ayah doesn't, in fact, explain it. We have to look elsewhere in Allah's book for this big language of ahad, covenant. What is it to have a covenant with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The original covenant, first covenant, the primordial covenant, is, of course, the day of Alastu bi Rabbikum. وَإِذْ أَخَذَ رَبُّكَ مِنْ بَنِي آدَمَ مِنْ ظُهُورِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ وَأَشْهَدَهُمْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ قَالُوا بَلَىٰ شَهِدْنَا أَن تَقُولُوا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ إِنَّا كُنَّا عَنْ هَذَا غَافِلِينَ. One of the most momentous statements in Allah's book. When we took a covenant, a solemn trust from the descendants of Adam. So we're talking about something that is for everybody but has already happened, even though many of the descendants of Adam, even now, have not yet been born. From their zuhur. In other words, the idea is that just as we present are all the genetic material and the cultural production of our ancestors, ones we can name and others, many we can't name, they all have some hand in shaping our disposition and the way we look. So also our descendants will be shaped in some way by the way we look and the way we are and the way we behave, and also by our akhlaq, to the extent that we can transmit something good or something bad to our children and they then pass it on down the generations. Even deeper than that, there is this covenant that is there in each one of us. The zuhur, which is like the fundamental, deepest constitution of our genetic identity. We could express it in those terms. And that most fundamental thing of what it is to be Bani Adam, all descendants in a single species from a single individual, whether it be how you traditionally understand it, or as the geneticists understand it, African Eve, or the single ancestor or ancestress of Bani Adam, the exact details of that are not given to us to know. But however you see that, we are a single big family, an extended family, and within us all is this one genetic thing that goes back to that day of Alastubi Rabbikum. The capacity to know, and to know things that other orders of creation are not designed to know, and also the capacity to forget, other orders of creation can forget, and also the capacity to engage in khata and dhanb, mistakes, sinfulness, things that are morally significant, positive or negative. That is what makes human beings really in a different category. That is where we are outside the biology, because we are morally significant and because we have this capacity not just to forget immediate social laws, traffic fines, we forget to register to vote, those mundane things, but something deeper, the big forgetfulness, which is the day of Alastubi Rabbikum, am I not your Lord? Fundamental to the human condition is the opposition between dhikr and nisyan, or dhikr and ghafla. We are in a state of sleepiness. We were once woken up, really woken up, and told everything that we need to know, everything that makes us significantly human, everything that can make us moral and spiritual and artistic and all of those fine things, and then we kind of get drowsy because we forget. Insan, nisyan, we tend to forget and we tend to mess up. Ma bi felek budayim, jari melek budayim, baz heman sharavim khadja ke an sahri mast. We were once friends of the angels. We were born to be companions of the high spheres. Let us go there again, friend, because an shahri mast, that is our place, that's our city, that's where we belong. Not in this world of clay and degeneration and regeneration, but somewhere higher. And what is it within us that gives us that true humanistic vision? It's because we have some capacity to remember. There's something within us that doesn't make sense in terms of the dull logic of space and time, that is a yearning, a desire for something truer, purer, and higher. And we see it, and the Quran is, of all the books in the world, the most beautiful in drawing our attention to this. We see it in nature. Wherever there is virgin nature, purity, the direct creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not polluted by the uncomprehending hands of human beings, but a real ayah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a real sign, something is awakened. We engage in fikr, the maqam of وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. In Al-Imran, the people of lub, of inner reality, are those who think about the way in which the heaven and the earth are created. And look at the world, not in the way that a robot or a computer might look at the world, but looking at the world with the lub, this thing that doesn't make sense to the scientists, but is fundamental to what we are. And something is awakened within us. We start to remember, experience a nostalgia. We even have, if the experience continues and is a pure one, a desire to return home. Let us go there again, friend, because that's our country. That's where we belong. That's where Sayyidina Adam, alayhi salam, in the ancient story, with all of its metaphors and all of its truth, was. The Jannah, the garden. Why a garden? Because the greatest signs are those of the natural world. He was in a world of pure signs. Everything that he looked at was ayah. There was nothing there that was polluted by the hands of greedy, forgetting, sinful human beings. Just the garden, just remembrance, pure dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then, despite that, as the ancient story goes, nasiya, he forgot. And thus is he our ancestor. We are all like that. We all forget. But just as he always remembered the garden which he had lost, we also remember, in a much degraded way, a garden which we have lost, a place which we know we came from and to which we long to return. A desire to go into beauty, to embrace beauty, to be uplifted, to have the knots in our souls untied by the experience of beauty, which is nothing other than the manifestation of the qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can't go back in time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the world so as to make time irrevocable. Nobody, not even a prophet of God, can go back through time. They can go up through and beyond the heavens in the Mi'raj, but time is an aspect of the divine nature itself, a dahr. The progression of the hours is inexorable. We can't even imagine what anything would be like without it, but we can look forward. We can look forward to the Jannah, the garden, which we are told is in wait for us. Why do we have this language again of the garden? A garden at the beginning of time, a garden at the end of time. Is it the same garden? Well, it's the same insofar as it will be just as perfect a reminder of its maker as the garden which we lost. And we get an intimation of that whenever we are in a state in which the fitrah can be activated. The fundamental nature of our beings that goes beyond words, that goes beyond even poetry and music, right down there when we encounter real beauty, the unmediated creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever we see, whether it be through a microscope or a telescope or just even without our glasses looking out of the window, that experience is an anticipation of what Allah is summoning us to. يَدْعُوكُمْ إِلَى دَارِ السَّلَامِ. He summons you to the abode of peace. Salam means more than peace. It's even one of his names, subhanahu wa ta'ala. It means the place of permanent safety and security. The place of amna, where there will be no more sorrow, no more grief, no more agitation, no more worries that something might not come about. All of these imperfections that come about in the world because of our endless forgetfulness and because of our distance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the further we get from him, the more imperfection there is, because perfection is only in him. At the end of time, it all comes together again and is separated out. And that which is true and beautiful and real, because only his signs are real, everything that is true and pure and real comes together in that quote-unquote place and time, where there are only his signs and nothing to distract one. And what is it? What is said there? إِلَّا قِيلًا سَلَامًا سَلَامًا. They will not hear there any ugly talk. The word will be peace, peace, more than peace. Serenity, the final resolution of everything that makes us anxious and makes us sad. That's the big picture that the Qur'an is depicting of human history and the human condition. The garden in a time beyond time. And the garden in a time after time itself. After the Yawm al-Akhir, after the last day, there will be a kind of day which goes on eternally, where there are only the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the nature of the human condition. We tend to forget. And it's a momentous thing to forget. It's not a little thing. Even if the forgetfulness is not sin, and it doesn't have to be a sin, it's still momentous. Because we are created for only one purpose, which was to remember, to worship, to be at peace with As-Salam subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the purpose of our existence. And the true peace that the mu'min experiences is wahuwa sajid, when he is in prostration. When his forehead, the symbol of all pride, is pressed down to the earth, whence it came and where it's going to go very soon, and feels peace. The pharaonic strutting around, showing off, anxious about one's own profile in the eyes of others, all of that comes to an end when one is where one belongs, down on the pramat, down on God's earth. And there's something Adamic about that. What is the meaning of the word Adam? Many of the ulama say it's from a root that also gives us Adim, which means the clay, the surface of the earth. What were we created of? Adam was created of turab, of earth. So the Adamic thing that we do is to prostrate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to put all of these wrong ideas down, and to remind ourselves of what we are ultimately made from. A good lesson in humility. A worrying reminder of our mortality, but also a reminder that from this earth, which is itself just dirt, things can grow. And we can grow. Just as humanity has a story of forgetfulness, so also humanity has a story of producing awliya and anbiya and great beauty and great works of heroism and self-sacrifice. It's not just a bad story. Mostly it's not a bad story. Most people do live in accordance with this fitrah to some extent, in a way that enables them to live just about with other people, despite our endless tendency just to forget. But the Sharia gives us this beautiful technology of enabling us to enact in our lives and in our bodies that initial Adamic state of being close to the earth, newly created, and remembering that that is the place where we will finally end up. And that's what it means to face the Kaaba, that ancient primordial thing, which is the symbol of the day of Alastu bi Rabbikum. What do we do when we stand in prayer? فَأَقِمْ وَجْهَكَ لِلدِّينِ حَنِيفًا. Turn your face as a Hanif, an ancient, even pre-Islamic monotheist, for the sake of religion, towards religion. And this is the meaning of the Hajj. This is the meaning of the return to the center from our scattered occupations. This is the meaning of the return to the fitrah. Fitrat Allahi allati fatara an-nasa 'alayha. The basic nature in which human beings were created. And the fitrah is from this turab, which can produce amazing gardens. We can be part of the garden. We can even, as khulafa, cultivate the garden, help the garden along, protect the garden if we know where it's from, or we can destroy it. We can ruin it. We can poison the biosphere to the extent that we forget what it means. So this little ayah with which I began is actually very challenging. Sayyidina Adam, alayhi salam, all he did was not to sin, but to forget. Not a sin, but what a momentous thing it is to forget. And the Muslim is required to be a reminder, to remind himself, to remind others. The Qur'an is the dhikr. It is all about reminding. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to be truly in touch with our fitrah, to help us to be people who have a true sense of ourselves as very temporary creatures made of clay, who are nonetheless called to the Dar es Salaam. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِسَائِرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله فإنه خير الزاد. وإياكم ومحدثات الأمور فكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. واعلموا أن الله قد أمركم بأمر عظيم، أمركم بالصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، فقال جل ثناؤه: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وأدخلنا الجنة مع الأبرار يا عزيز يا غفار. ووفق اللهم ولاة أمور المسلمين إلى العمل بكتاب الله وسنة خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين. عباد الله رحمكم الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله العظيم يذكركم ودعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون. وأقم الصلاة.